This is our third Sunday being on Spirit-filled praying. And I don't know about you, but it's been rich in my spirit. In Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, it's Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words will be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the ministry of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." You and I need to be alert. We need to be of sober mind, because Satan is doing everything that he can to trip us up on a daily basis. He goes around, it says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And if we're not on guard, if we're not of sober mind and we're not alert in the spirit, then we could become that prey. We could fall prey to him. He makes up schemes, it says in Ephesians 6:11. And these are diabolical, deceitful schemes that he puts together to cause me and you to trip or to go astray. He wants to trick us into following him or letting down our guard. And he brings little enticing things in front of us on a regular basis to lead us astray or to lure us away. And we've covered that in the previous two weeks. That's why Paul goes into that God has given us a full armor for protection. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, he goes into, "Therefore put on the whole armor of God, so that when that day of evil comes, when you're approached, that you might be able to stand your ground. And when you've done everything that you know to do, you just stand in victory." And Jesus will make sure of that. One of the things that he gives us as probably the strongest weapon that we have is prayer. And there's a concept of prayer. And that was our first point. That humility of prayer. That faithfulness in prayer. That praying in the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit show us what we ought to be praying for. Because sometimes we don't know. But the Spirit will reveal that to us. And we can call out to God to meet the needs that are revealed to us. In Romans 12:12, it says that we are to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue instant, which means faithful and steadfast, in prayer. So prayer is one of our greatest weapons. And I don't know that Christians today pray enough. I think sometimes we mumble some things, but it doesn't come from down in our spirit man. We're just meeting a momentary need of our own desires. There's a time that we need to concentrate in prayer. And Jesus often would go aside and spend a night up in the hills or the mountains by himself, calling out to God, praying. If Jesus needed to do that, how much more we need to do that? There's a content, and we just got started on that last week. That's our second point, the content of prayer. Our text tells us that there's things that should fill our prayer, and there's ways that we ought to be praying. And Paul mentions several different kinds of prayers there. He refers to the general scope of prayer. There's a general way that we pray. And Paul divides our prayers that way. One is general, one is specific. You know, each one of us one day wants to go to heaven. And we would prefer going to heaven over the alternative of not going to heaven, because there's only one other place to go. There's no in-between that we're going to hang out in. And the Bible says if we want to go to heaven, then we need to be like Christ. And we need to purpose to go there. So Jesus came to earth, and he walked the earth for 33 years, leaving us an example of things that we ought to do, attitudes we ought to have, an example of a walk that we ought to walk in. And if we expect to go where he is, then we have to be like him. He left us an example, 1 Peter 2:21 says, that we should walk in his steps, or we should follow in his steps. For the believer to be an overcomer, for you and I to truly be an overcomer, we need to follow the example that Jesus has set for us. The example of faith, the example of prayer, the example of calling out to the Father and following the Spirit. The believer like Jesus must at all times be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He purposed that he would do nothing, say nothing that he has not heard or seen of the Father. And the Spirit would make that real in him, in that fleshly part. He was every bit God, but he was every bit flesh too. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's things that my mind, my carnal man, my fleshly man wants to do. There's things that it pulls me toward. And the Spirit is there to say, this is not the way. Don't go that way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. So we have to be careful. How do I learn the truth? How do I walk in the truth? How do I know which way I'm supposed to go? It's the Holy Spirit that will reveal that to us. He will lead us. He will guide us. And he will show us things. The attack of the enemy is always along the same lines. He wants to get us off on our own. He wants us to get us under his influence and away from God. He wants us to act independently of God. He wants us to do it our way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You do it your way, the end thereof is destruction. That's what the Bible says. We need to do it God's way. And the only one that can show us that way is the Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, our insides, our spirit man, our heart, our mind, our soul, all wrapped up, begins to cry out and pray for me and you to overcome the world, for me and you to overcome Satan, for me and you to overcome the evil that's presented to us. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. He will guide us every day. The tactic that Satan used on the first Adam, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, he presented what God had said no to as being okay. And he says, God's holding out on you. You can go ahead and do this. It's okay. And it seemed good to them. In other words, they left what God said and they did what was right in their own eyes. And it cost them dearly, because not only did they get kicked out of the garden, but sin entered into mankind. Up to that point, man was innocent. All of a sudden, there was sin. So it took a second Adam to come, his name Jesus. And he won for us, because of his obedience, all that disobedience had lost. He gained back. So we have the ability of forgiveness. We have the ability of righteousness. We have the ability within us to walk in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. But we'll have to follow the example that He left for us so that we can overcome. For me and you to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, Jesus must be Lord of our lives. How do I make Him the Lord of my life? 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So it's the Spirit that's in us that shows us and makes Jesus Lord. For Jesus to be Lord in our lives, then we have to know the Word of God so that we can walk in God's will. The believer cannot obey God's Word if we don't know God's Word. So we have to read it. We have to put it in us. I remember when I was in Bible college, I walk into Pentateuch class, and Brother Bishop said, we're going to have a pop quiz today, and this quiz is going to count 5% of your total grade. There was mass panic in that room. I mean, we couldn't even breathe. All the air was gone because everybody went, So me being a spiritual individual, I went to prayer, desperate prayer. I said, oh God, bring back to my memory all those things that I'm going to need for this test. And the Holy Spirit said, clear as day, I can't bring back what hadn't been there to begin with. I wished I could say I aced that test. It was not an ace. It was a crippled D. Because whatever I needed had never been there, which has been the case a lot. If you and I want to be overcomers, then we follow the example that Jesus has laid down. We're filled with the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And one thing about the Holy Spirit, He will never under any circumstance force you or me to choose the will of God. He presents us with the opportunity to accept the will of God and to walk in God's will. And when I choose to, or you choose to, then we have the Holy Spirit and all of heaven behind us to enforce our choice in God's will. So immediately, there's a whole army walking with us as we walk in the Spirit and the will of Almighty God. You remember when the three Hebrew children was offered the opportunity to bow down and worship that false image that Nebuchadnezzar had put up. And they said, no, we're not going to worship that golden image. We only worship God. Because the only word that they had was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they stood on that. They said, we will not bow. And they said, if you don't bow, you're going in the furnace. You're going to die. And they said, we're not bowing, only to God. Heaven was totally silent during all of that exchange. They were on their own, making their choice. Right now, it seems like we are alone sometimes in our choices. That heaven is distant and God is turned away and the heavens have turned to brass. And we can't break through and we're all alone. But the moment that Nebuchadnezzar made his play and he said, I'm going to show everybody here what happens whenever you disobey. It was at that moment that Jesus stood up and stepped forward. And they took the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and threw them in a furnace that they had made seven times hotter than it had ever been before. And suddenly Jesus stepped in the fire with them. Listen, at that moment of truth, you're never deserted. You're never alone. He is right there with you. He will go in the fire with you. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, wait a minute, we threw three in? There's four people in there. One of them looks like the Son of God. Because it was. And even Nebuchadnezzar could tell just by looking at him, this is the Son of God that's in there with them. So when you walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes sure that you have a whole fortress full of people or angels or whatever behind you as part of your force. When they made their choice and they were standing firm, heaven went into action, just like he will for you. When the believer chooses to obey, the Holy Spirit enforces that choice. So when we pray in the Spirit, according to the will of God, because you won't pray in the Spirit outside the will of God, the Spirit won't allow it. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the very will of God. Then the Holy Spirit enforces that prayer. So Spirit-filled praying is enforced by the Holy Spirit and in line with the very will of God. Well, what if I'm praying that general prayer that Paul was talking about? And sometimes we do that. Oh, God, bless all the Christians in China. They really need your help. That's a very general prayer. We're not praying specifics as we would be if we call names or whatever. Or, God, help our missionaries around the world. That's a very general prayer. But when you're praying it by the Spirit, it becomes an enforceable prayer. And God steps in to meet the needs that you're calling out because it's His will to do so. And we're praying His will. So all kinds of prayer, Paul says, we are supposed to pray by the Spirit. That literally means, in interpretation, that all kinds of prayer that Paul talks about in our text means all prayer. Every prayer. It's that kind of praying that even those parts of it that's nonspecific, there's times when we pray, God help the pastors of Rock Hill. And that's a very general prayer, non-specific prayer. What kind of help? Who? All of those things. But when you're praying by the Spirit, then all of a sudden, the enforcement, the power comes in that prayer, and the Spirit begins to move, and the Spirit begins to touch. I believe that God hears those prayers, and God answers those prayers because we're praying according to His will. He knows our hearts. He knows the specifics much better than we do. And sometimes I can trust Him with that. Not as a cop-out, but as a real need meter. God, you know what that need is. I'm asking you to step in and meet that need because He already knows. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. It says that we have a burden for the things that God cares about whenever we call on Him like that. And He will honor that. Paul mentions supplications. And that's the way the New King James puts it. The NIV says we pray with requests. This word refers to those prayers that are specific in nature. In these verses, Paul gives some specific areas of our praying. Pray for the saints. There's times when we pray for people that we know that might be struggling. Those that are following God, but maybe they're having a very difficult time. I remember a very precious lady in one of our previous churches. She almost lost everything. And her husband became very, very bitter. Her son became very, very bitter. She remained faithful. But they made it so difficult on her. But her spirit was so sweet. And I can remember so many times in the middle of the night being awakened to pray for her and specifically for her. I was making my requests known. I was calling out to God. God, I don't know what the problem is, but the Spirit has put her on my heart. And I would call her name and I would pray for her. God honors those kind of prayers. He will fill them with His blessings. Supplications, requests. I don't know what her need was, but I knew it was there. And God met that need. Sometimes she would testify. Sometimes it was very personal. If you have a sickness or you know somebody that's struggling in a specific area, if you have unsaved loved ones, you need to pray in the Spirit specifically for what they need, for them to be touched, them to be healed. If there's a financial need, you can pray specifically in the Spirit for that need. God said He wanted you to prosper. He wants you to enjoy, not to be in desperation. When the need is known, then the prayer can be specific. When the need is not known, then the prayer can be general. But it's the same Spirit. I think we miss it too many times by thinking, well, I don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit does. And we can pray in the Spirit. And heaven moves at that request. Paul says in our scripture here, he says, pray for me. Pray for me. Ephesians verse 6, 19. He makes some specific requests for himself. That he reminds the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, I'm in bonds. I'm in chains. I'm in jail. He assures them that his imprisonment is for the glory of God. He becomes that ambassador. He said, I want to be able to speak boldly, accurately, truthfully, but with authority to make the mystery of the gospel known. He asked for prayer that he might preach the way that he ought to preach. There's nothing wrong with you requesting prayer for yourself. It needs to be. Sometimes we're very hesitant to do that. But those who agree with you in prayer, and listen to this. By praying for Paul, whenever he asked, remember me, the Ephesian believers would be allowed to share in Paul's success in Rome. Everything that Paul accomplished in Rome because of their prayers, then they would share in that. When you and I pray in the Spirit for our friends or possibly even people that we don't know. But when we're bringing their names before the Lord, then we're getting credit for that. And whatever reward, we will share in it. When our praying is in a general nature, we never know always whether or not the Lord hears. When we just pray generally, sometimes we're not aware of exactly what God does. But when we pray specifically, we know when God moves in that direction. Susan and I started a little gathering in our home right after we were saved, 40 years, almost 50 years ago. We wanted fellowship. We wanted to see things done. And it ended up that we had about 42 people in our living room every Tuesday night. And we made a list of 100 things. And when one was answered, we would put a check mark beside it and we would take it off the list. And we would put it on the answered list. And we'd put a new one on the list of 100. In 1 year, everything that was on that original list was answered. And we had already made several other re-entries, of course, so that in the course of 1 year, we could point at over 225 things specifically that God had done. People that had been prayed for years were saved during that year. One husband that for 25 years, he would say, "I will never go to church." And he was so against it. About 3 weeks after we started praying, he walked in the church, walked up front, and fell across the altar and said, "God, I need you." That whole church went crazy. We acted like we were Pentecostal or something. We were shouting and running. There was one guy ran about 4 laps around that church because it was his brother that was laid across that altar. When you pray by the Spirit, heaven moves and things get done. Jesus says in John 14:13, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In John 15:16, in the King James Version, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." We have God's guarantee. It reminds us that there's times when God already is moving on our behalf. He wants the lost to be saved. He wants the hurting to be at ease. He wants the fearful to trust. He wants me and you to lift them up to Him. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Father, I come before you by the Spirit. And I ask you, God, to meet the needs that are represented here today. You said in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. God, you said in Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God, teach us to pray by your Spirit, so that Matthew 21:22, where it says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. God, we can make a difference in this world. Help us to raise up prayer warriors, that we might see your kingdom spread. That, God, we can see souls saved and lives transformed. Comfort our hearts during this time of upheaval. Give us a peace that passes understanding. And help us to tell everybody we know that, God, you're in control, that your love is great. And when we bow before you, teach us to pray by your Spirit.